Welcome to the Subscription League, a podcast by Purchasly. Listen to what's working in subscription apps. In each episode, we invite leaders of the app industry who are mastering the subscription model for mobile apps. To learn more about subscriptions, head to subscriptionleague.com. Let's get started.
Hey Jeff, I'm not even going to ask you how you're doing, because I know you're doing great, because we have a great guest today that you have wanted to have on the show for a long time. So why don't you introduce him?
Yes, I'm very, very happy to have Adrien Mignati here today. He's the founder of Luni, the famous app studio that developed Fitness Coach, among other successful apps. And as you hear, he's French, as we are. Well, he has amazing successes, 250,000 downloads by day for all of his apps portfolio. And today, he'll tell us about how to grow a small app from scratch to success. Welcome, Adrien.
Thank you. Hello, Jeff.
So, Adrien, after this great intro from Jeff, is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know about you and Luni?
Yes, I think you make a great introduction about Luni, but I can introduce a little myself to give some context. I'm on the mobile industry since a little more than 10 years now. I start in app marketing. And after, I built a mobile gaming studio, which is called Green Panda Games, which always exists, which has been acquired by Ubisoft, two or 3 years ago. So I launched Luni 4 years ago. Now we start with very simple application, utilities app, simple, by the way, the build, but not as simple to market. After we say, okay, we want to address all the thematics of the app store. So we start doing wellness. We start doing creativity because we build a lot of methods internally and we were ready to scale any kind of application.
And where are your users mostly based?
United States, I think 60% of our users are from United States, but after it depends on the application. For example, on utilities apps, we start very early in Europe because it was easier to approach for us. And after, when we start a fitness application and other wellness application, it was more profitable to do them in the United States. And as it's content application, you need to do them locally. It's not like a scanner application that the process to scan a document is the same in every country. When you are doing fitness, you need to speak in English to address English users. They won't understand anything about your explanation and won't make the right move.
And so, as you said, you have multiple apps in the store and you're doing very well on download front with over 250,000 daily downloads. Can you tell us how you approach user acquisition in your studio?
It really depends on the application because as we start with utilities, for one simple reason, it was because it drives a lot of organic traffic. So we do essentially user acquisition through the App Store by paying or organically, by paying through Apple search ads, because there is a lot of search on keywords like PDF scanner, document scanner, and every word like this. And for example, weather, everything. And after, when we start doing content application, like on wellness or creativity, we start addressing more classical networks as Facebook, Snapchat, TikTok, or even influencer.
Most projects begins with organic user acquisition, skipping over paid acquisition. What's the good and the bad about this approach in your mind?
It really depends on the project because on utilities, for example, we have a lot of organic traffic. The good thing is that we don't have to pay for anything. Mm-hmm. Because it's all free traffic, so it's only margin, but it's not scalable because you have a number of users that is looking for one keyword or for a project, for example, a number of people that are looking for weather application. Mm-hmm. But once you reach this maximum impression and this maximum number of users, you can scale more because you are limited to this search volume. Mm-hmm. But after, if you build a strong brand, what we are doing, for example, with Fomada, we really want to create a lifestyle brand that is known by all the user. You can scale your organic traffic by the reputation of your brand, so your application. For example, it was the case with Fitness Coach during the lockdown. we work a lot with influencer. So the influencers say the brand a lot. They say, okay, fitness coach. So you gain in reputation and you gain in organic traffic. So it brings you a lot of free traffic and as much as the brand is growing. But it could be a trap for only utility application because you are locked by the number of traffic on the App Store.
So for early startup, do you advise them to do paid traffic, to do organic acquisition, a mix of both? Like where should you stand in the early days?
I think you need both because you need to do paid traffic to launch your application. To refer only on organic traffic is a little of utopist because for some people it works. You have a great application that only counts on organic traffic because they have a lot of featuring from Apple, but it's only maybe one app on 1,000. So it's not pretty usual to count only on organic traffic, even if you do utility application, but it's another topic. So you need paid traffic to launch your application, but counting only on paid traffic is very hard because paid traffic is more and more expensive because you have more and more application on the App Store. You have more and more competitors. So it's very hard to get cheap traffic and to get volume over traffic, over the price. So you need to work on your brand to have a strong brand. As I said before, to make your reputation and to get your traffic cost you less money.
So would you say that building a brand is really something that is different? It's kind of a different area of marketing and product. So how today are you building a brand? And I think that in your portfolio, Omada is really the app that is like bootstrapping this kind of strategy for your company. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, for Omada, we try to do something that is more than an application.
Yeah, can you tell us before speaking about Omada, can you tell us what Omada is for the speakers that maybe don't know yet what Omada is?
Yes, so Omada is a social betting application, so it's betting for free. But what we want to build over this is that you have the betting mechanic to retain a user daily, but it's more as a community. People are coming from the free betting, but they are staying to be with their friends, to be on the ranking, to meet some new people that are sports fans as them. We need to work on every aspect of the application to retain the people, but also to make Omada a lifestyle brand. Now, Omada, we are doing merchandising, we are doing social media, we are doing a lot of off-application stuff because, as I said, we want to build a brand and not just an application because it's all this reputation that we are making in the real life or on social media or even around the people that will make us get a lot of organic traffic and that make that our traffic is pretty cheap, even if we are doing paid acquisition.
Would you say that the influencers helped you a lot bootstrapping that culture and that awareness? And would you say that this awareness is more important? Do you remain more top of mind in your customers because the acquisition was totally different?
We work a lot with influencers because it is the most efficient way to make people retain your brand. Influencer, you need to work with a big influencer because influencer that will talk about your application, not only once, but 3, 4, 5, 6 times every week to say, okay, you remember I told you about Omada, to make the brand sticky in the brain of people.
Yeah.
Okay. It's for that. You can do this with Facebook, for example, but the guy will see the ad and after maybe forget it, but the influencer, you trust him. So you retain more and more what they are talking about.
Yeah, okay, great. So in fact, kind of acquisition strategy change, polymorph area, and you need to be able to...
You need everything, but you need to adjust.
There's no secret recipe.
It's very hard because you need paid traffic to bootstrap because when you start, you don't have organic, you don't have run, you have nothing. So you need to have the first user that will let you to get data about your application, to see if your application is doing well about retention, about engagement. And once you see that you have a great application, that people are staying in your application. You start building your strategy to build a great brand and to generate organic traffic and to go to growth until your traffic costs nothing.
Okay.
And so you mentioned, you know, acquisition using influencers, and we all know that getting the users through the door is kind of the first step, but then you have to convert them to becoming customers, and that can be very tough. How have you approached that challenge with Fitness Coach?
Yeah, so once you generate the download, it's not enough. You need to convert your customer, as you said, because if you don't pay, so you gain nothing. So it's the hard things about application. And so, yes, once in the application, it starts a lot of testing. You need to do a lot of A/B testing about how you will convert your users through onboarding, through paywalls, through several things. You need to sell the value of your application to your customer even before they discover your application. Now, for example, you see that in every application, you have the paywall very early because it's what converts most. And to bring the paywall very early, you need to make your user understand the concept or the content of your application very, very early, even before the paywall. It's for that great onboarding is very important. We are testing maybe 2 or 3 onboarding per week with several steps because we want the user not to be disappointed once they start the trial. Because they will see your onboarding, they will see your paywall, which is more a summary of your onboarding, and after they will start the trial. But when they start the trial, they are not converted because they didn't pay yet. So they need to get from free to pay, which is a more complicated step because they should not be disappointed before what they saw in the onboarding, what they saw in the paywall. So you need to give the experience that you sell to the customer, which is very hard. So you don't need to be too pushy. You don't need to be too aggressive because if you say, okay, you will get this, they will maybe come back to the trial, but after they won't pay. So you will have a lot of churn, and the churn that is very hard to anticipate because it comes 3 or 7 days after. And after you convert him to pay, you will have the renewal. And if you discover 1 year later that almost all your users churn, whereas you predict that they will stay, you will lose a lot of money.
Yeah, because you have the outcomes like very late in the process.
Yeah.
Because you have a lot of yearly subscriptions.
Yeah, the trial comes the first day. Yeah. So it's easy to anticipate the trial. Okay, I have 10% of my users that will get the trial. Cool. But after that, those they will pay, those they will renew after paying, which is the hardest part to anticipate.
And so how do you do that how do you walk that fine line of not being too pushy, but at the same time selling enough that you can actually sell subscriptions with? And, you know, what kind of KPI do you use to make sure you have that long-term growth in mind and not just the short-term?
I think before the KPI, the very first step is to have a great application because at the end, even if you are looking to every KPI, even we are doing all the A/B testing you want, if you don't have a great application, people won't stay. So you need to have a good content, a well-done application, an application that people love. For example, on Fitness Coach, we invest a lot the content. We are doing a new video every month to keep the user engaged inside the application. After this, the main KPI, I would say, is the retention. Because if you have a good app retention, you will have a good subscription retention. And it will make, for example, 1 point of retention after 6 months, it will maybe double the LTV. So every step and over the lifetime of the user is important, and every data is important. And after, we use several tools to follow this. For example, for subscription, we use tools like Purchasey. For A/B testing inside the application, we are using Amplitude. To see our acquisition source, we are using AppsFlyer. You have a lot of tools over the market that make you don't need to build them from scratch. And that are pretty easy to put inside your application. And after, you don't have to make quality application, as I said. And after, you are testing your onboarding, your paywall. and you try to sell your experience.
Can you share with us the typical like funnel percentage, like how many people are coming in, how many percentage are starting a trial, how many are converting, first renewal? And can you share with us maybe some like generic figures that you consider are positive before
it's a hard question because other applications are different. For example, on a fitness application, you have a lot of churn, which is normal because it's like a gym club. Mm-hmm. You take your subscription maybe in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 fitness application, and after you choose on your own trial period. So it's very hard to comment. And you see people don't go to gym club even if
they don't have a free trial.
You pay, but you don't go.
Yes, that's the point.
So it really depends on the application. I would say a good download to trial start at 10%. If you have 10% of people that are going from download to trial, it's cool because I think it will be the minimum to be profitable after. But as I said, I saw some applications that have 20% because they are very specialized. For example, if you have an application for women that are pregnant and everything, you have higher conversion rate because you are less general than a fitness application, for example, where you approach all people.
Yeah, that's a very good point. We were discussing that in a previous episode of Subscription League with Anya from Rooted. That's a panic attack specific app, and she was exactly describing that with specific content and how she made it profitable. But yeah, so that 10% from install to trial.
Yeah, I think at least 10%, and after, if from trial to pay, it's the same. I see some developers that have 60%, but I think you don't have to be less than 40-45%. But after, it also depends on your subscription duration. For example, on yearly, not the same than monthly, not the same than weekly. Weekly converts higher because it's cheaper. So people care less about $5 between $10 or $20 or maybe $100 if you are yearly. So it really depends. But I speak about monthly. If you're on monthly, I think the good KPI will be 10% and 40-45% at least.
And what about churn?
The opposite. You take the numbers, back 60% of churn. But it's very hard because, for example, some good application. You're on the consumer.
Can you share with us how much time remain in your apps, maybe utilities or?
Anyway, you are in the consumer business. Yeah. It's not like B2B. And even if you have a great application that, for example, on a yearly subscription, you have only 40% of churn, which is low for yearly subscription, it remains that 40% of the people are leaving your application, your subscription. So it's pretty hard. It's for that you need to go big to be profitable.
Mm-hmm. How has app tracking transparency affected your business and what did you change as a result?
Great question. No, it changed a lot of things actually. For the work with influencer, it's okay. We work the same way with influencer, and I think we work even more with influencer. Mm-hmm. On Apple Search Ads, it doesn't affect a lot. In fact, it affects because all the people now are buying Apple Search Ads. Before, there is not a lot of people. And for example, we compare our numbers this year, previous last year. I think it costs maybe 4 times the CPI than last year. It's crazy. All the people now are buying on Apple Search Ads because it's pretty... It's not easy to track, but it's easier and you can have some volume because Apple controls the traffic they deliver. So it's pretty easy to get some volume. It didn't get affected. But where we got a lot of impact, it's on Facebook, Google, Snapchat, the big networks that need to comply to the rules because all the networks won't comply with the rules. So when you respect ATT, you need to wait maybe 2 or 3 days to get the first results. So you run your ads for 2 or 3 days without saying how much it costs, even if MMP are doing a lot of work to make it easier. it's very hard to get a result and KPI for one specific cohort. So now we work a lot aggregated. So we need to mix the organic display traffic, so Facebook, Snapchat and everything, the influencer. And it's hard to differentiate everything. So we are working a lot aggregated. And anyway, when you are working with influencer, it brings a lot of organic traffic. So the organic traffic has been generated by your paid traffic. So it's pretty logical to get everything in the same box. But even it gets complicated to cut some networks that could perform less. But it's for that you need to be really organized to anticipate which campaign you will launch and which campaign could affect the quality of your traffic. So you need to check even more to see 2 or 3 days after once you have your ATT that gets the post back to see if the traffic was okay or no.
You were speaking a lot about influencers.
Yeah.
And there is, I have one question because Apple released something that's called custom code that basically allow you to bring specific code that could be delivered by influencers and maybe let you know better the source for a specific subscription. Have you tried these strategies already at Luli?
We tried maybe at the beginning, but it was very early for the product, so it didn't work very well. It was very hard to explain them how to type the code, how it worked and everything. They were saying, no, it didn't work and everything. So it's not an easy process for influencer and even more for the customer. So for now, we don't use it a lot. We are waiting that the system improve.
I hope that they're going to bring the ability to copy paste.
It's already improved. It's already improved, but not at 100%. And as I said, we have a lot of organic traffic. So when a guy type fitness coach on the App Store and come inside the application, they say, okay, well, I need to put the code or they are starting the trial, but the real trial, and after they pay, they say, okay, where I put the code? It's too late.
So we've talked a lot about KPIs and what to monitor and the fact that you want a great application to kind of retain your customers. I want to ask you more about subscription because we know that getting subscription right is tough. Do you have any advice that you can share on how to get subscription right in your app?
It's a wide question because it really depends on the application. The first step before putting subscription is to think about which part of your product you will monetize to bring value to the user because it's a subscription. So user will pay every month or every week. So you need a content that is refreshed every week or every month. And for example, you see this a lot on creativity. For example, you have new template, or you have a new way to make your picture and everything. So you need to think a lot about the value you can bring to the user because subscription could be very expensive for the end user and that will lower your churn. And after that, so as I said previously, you need to explain to the user this value during your onboarding, during your payroll. And for this, you can start with very easy version. You have a lot of reference and gallery over the internet. You see all the paywall of every application. So you can just get inspired by your competitors or by top grossing of the App Store and to put a first paywall to even for the onboarding to work on it. And after, once you have your subscription paid inside the application, you start testing your onboarding, your paywall, to test the message. And after you get the right message, you get the right conversion, you can test different pricing, different trial period. It's very important because it could also depend on the country you're advertising on. For example, in the United States, they are maybe more willing to pay for a yearly subscription, which is not the case in France or in Italy because they need a lower price. Mm-hmm. So they maybe need a weekly subscription. So it's as important to work on conversion, but also on pricing because it could affect the conversion. But doing the both at the same time, it will be too hard because you will test several things. You won't see the proper result.
Yeah, that's something that we hear from a lot of people. Test one thing at a time so you can clearly interpret the results.
But I think the first thing is to test the message, because it's what you will sell. Once you have a good conversion, you can test the price and everything because you have a good base.
In your studio, you start by taking an app idea and you make it into a minimum product, test it, iterate, and see if the results are correct for your investment. Can you tell us, I'm curious about the story of Fitness Coach and how that applied to Fitness Coach.
Yes, so it was exactly the method I talked previously when I said you start with paid traffic. In fact, Fitness Coach, we made maybe four versions of the application. At Looney, when we try new category, we don't want to exceed 2 months of development because we want to try very quickly a product.
And that on both iOS and Android?
Only iOS. Only iOS to start because it's where the money is. And so, for example, on Fitness Coach, the very first application, the name wasn't even Fitness Coach. It was another name. I don't remember. Maybe Workout Now. I don't even remember. But we made the first application. We try to work on the product. We see the retention. We say, okay, no, it's not a good engagement. It's not a good retention. So I said previously, the very first step is to work on the product and to bring paid traffic and to see if your user engage with the app. We made the second version. It was better, but not enough. So we made the third version and we see, okay, we have the good receipt. So we start testing paywall and we see there were great willingness to pay. So I think maybe we try 2 or 3 times the paywall or so. Each time, maybe 2 or 3 months of iteration. So we start working on a fitness app. I said fitness app because it was not Fitness Coach. Maybe in April. And we release the proper version in December. So 3 iterations of 2 months globally. And after we get the good engagement, the good retention, and a good conversion on the paywall, we start, as I said before, doing the brand. So working on the brand, we start working with influencer. We start testing different onboarding, testing different paywall. And we scale one day to another. We say, okay, we are profitable. We have good metrics. So now we can scale. And we were spending $1 million a month from one day to another.
Did at any moment of this process, did you have in your mind to, okay, maybe I can kill the project because it will never be profitable?
Yeah, for fitness, it was pretty particular because previously we killed a lot of projects which were more on niche or were more specific. For example, sleep application or maybe creativity application, a lot of different applications that we killed because we didn't get the good metrics. But as there were no reference on the App Store, we said, okay, maybe there's just no market. And after, once you have the good metrics, you need to scale. We got project with very good metrics, but once we start doing paid acquisition, we said, okay, it will be too hard to pass the message, or it will be too hard to get a lot of traffic. You need to, as I said, you have a lot of churn on consumer subscription, so you need to scale a lot to make a lot of money. On the App Store, there is not a lot of application that is making hundreds of millions per year. There's only maybe 5 or 10 applications that are doing this, which are Calm and Headspace. And so, yeah, dating apps mainly. But you don't have a lot of applications that are making hundreds of millions per year. We saw maybe sometime that we don't have the ability to scale, or maybe don't have just good metrics, so we kill them. But on fitness, we know that there were actors that were profitable, and we know that you have a big market. So we say, okay, we just need to find how. It was a different approach from what we did before, because you say, okay, we know that there is a market. We know that there is a lot of fitness app and that they're making a lot
so
of money.
So you were willing to spend more time.
Yeah, it's for that. You say, okay, there is a way. We achieved to crack it. And after, it's been 2 years that we are the most downloaded fitness app on the US App Store. And thanks to this work, to iteration, and after once you iterate and you have good metrics, you need to spend a lot to get your reputation, to get your organic traffic, and to make the magic happen. And yeah. After on Omada, it's very different because we get another approach. Again, it was something that didn't exist on the App Store. There was no successful social betting application. So we launched a different concept and we say, whoa, there's a great engagement. There is now some retention. So we say, okay, sport is a busy market. Betting is a huge market. So we say, okay, we can scale. We have a huge engagement. So we need to scale it and to maintain it.
Great. Those are all great stories. It's great to hear how you guys, you know, go from the beginning to bigger success stories. This is kind of the end of the time that we had to chat with you today. If our listeners want to learn more about you and Looney, where can they go?
They can go on LinkedIn or maybe, yes, mainly LinkedIn, and they can contact me and I will answer.
On Looney.app also.
Yeah, but Looney.app, it's not direct to me, so yeah. Maybe more.
Right? You're hiring a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us, maybe some listeners.
Designer, developer, every kind of profile, marketing, everything. As soon as you're working at the app industry, we are hiring.
Okay. France only, Paris, Bordeaux, or maybe other places?
Paris, Bordeaux, and United States, but more for Omada.
Thanks for sharing with us today.
Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you for asking me.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Adrian. Those were some really awesome answers that you got, and our listeners will really benefit from the experience you brought on our podcast today. So thanks again.
On behalf of the Purchasely team, thank you for listening to the Subscription League podcast. If you've enjoyed what you heard, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or other audio platform. To find out more about Purchasely and how we can improve your subscription business, visit purchasely.com. Please hit subscribe in your podcast player and don't miss any future episodes. You can also listen to previous episodes at subscriptionleague.com. See you soon!